He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman. Appreciate you joining us on the Friday Groove-a-thon, known as Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. So many great football players and great athletes are continuing to be social warriors when it comes to making sure that young people, no matter who they are, where they come from, get a fair shake, especially when it comes to education. There's a great project called the Honey Bear Project out there, where the mission is simple: to be a beacon of hope, to be an example of kindness, be a believer in the human spirit, and do their part in making some of those dreams come true, especially when it comes to young men and young women going to HBCUs. And Willie Lanier, one of the greatest players in the history of the NFL, is a part of that, part of the legacy, part of this whole foundation. And he joins us thanks to the Goodyear Hotline. Mr. Lanier, what has it been like as an HBCU grad like you are from Morgan State, being with the Honey Bear Project, making sure that young men and women get the ample opportunity to get a fair and equitable education?
Fred, I would start with a number of years ago, being back in Virginia in the investment business. I had an opportunity to be on the board of Virginia State University. And there was another African-American gentleman, a rector, who had attended Penn State, and we came to know each other. And he was a partner in a pretty big law firm in Pittsburgh for many years. So touching it, even though I attended Morgan State back in Richmond, going down to Virginia State, and then seeing how we and our thoughts and our minds were able to be helpful in improving the infrastructure of that university, seeing it come more to life, seeing it having the benefit of the students who were there, their progeny going to that school, and all the geometric progressions that could occur as you go through a lifetime with educated individuals being able to move the needle for themselves and their families. So with that, and having the opportunity to talk with Joe Taylor, athletic director at Virginia Union, last year, with the thought of would I be interested in having my name on the field, maybe help raise money for it, I told him I wasn't really interested in just having my name on something else, because I'm not looking to acknowledge just me, but let me talk with my maker and see what kind of thought I could have. Well, the thought was that there was some inequality in athletic facilities, as it always has been at historically black colleges. And you start with the field, you start with the foundation, you start with, okay, how can someone start thinking they have a chance to be equal if the footing on that place that they participate is inferior to what others have? Not counting just if you go to a major college. I think in 2011, I was all the way back to Kansas City and stopped in Michigan, University of Michigan, or Michigan State, one or the other. And having stopped there because I was owning part of the business in Detroit, I saw the armaments in a football stadium, practice facility rather, that looked like they had 100 yards of weight facilities. So then it was one, how does someone at a historically black college start to really feel that you really have a chance to be equal? Because you could see the distance of what you had to what someone else had, and all of that meant something. So with that, and Joe offering his comments, my talk to the NFL, having some other thoughts, it was one, if we could get the first one started here, then we could see where else it could go.
There's so many different levels we can go here, Mr. Lanier. And to start with the education aspect, if I'm not mistaken, even after your career, you went back and started working on your master's. If you had a message for any young athlete out there, when it comes to education, because you know better than anybody, you know, the game only lasts so long. Father Time is undefeated. What is your message for any young player out there, you know, black, white, male, female, when it comes to education versus athletics?
I did not go back to start work on a master's. I started work on a master's my rookie year in pro football.
Wow.
My graduating class mates in business administration were going on to MBA programs at many of the different schools around the country, and I didn't want to delay maintaining my academic pursuit, because my pursuit was to have the words all rights and privileges thereto appertaining said to me to get my degree. I did not go to college to play pro football. Football helped pay for me to go to college. I was a walk-on at Morgan State. I was not recruited. So it was not a full dose of something football related. So with that being said, the objective that every young person should have if they get an opportunity to play in the pros is to go back to school immediately, complete your degree immediately, take no time off, because everybody else who graduated might get 2 weeks off with their first job, and that's your vacation. Because you did something, you were paid a little bit more money, does not mean that you take a five-month vacation. It makes no sense. You went to college to get your degree, take your behind to work, and prepare for your future, because you only have 3 years, if that. And that's sliding very quickly. It doesn't matter how much you make, because the same way if you were a lawyer, you billed hourly. And just because you had a good year last year doesn't mean you take 6 months off next year. I mean, so the logic is sound. And with the logic being sound, if someone else is telling you anything other than that, then you have to look at them and say, you're not benefiting me. Wow. And it doesn't matter how much that you're paid. In this way, the owner of a team that's worth lots of money, he doesn't stop working in the off season. He works. So what could cause you to think that your journey should be any different?
Mr. Lanier, this project is named after you. It's called the Honey Bear Project, from your playing days in the NFL. How did you get the nickname Honey Bear?
Part of the Honey Bear comes from this. My first year in Kansas City, I was taught to tackle improperly. I'm striking, putting the helmet between the numbers, target in terms of whoever the one person with the ball. And there was a player now this season named Jerry Mays. And because of the way I was striking people, in my first year, he gave me a nickname, which was Contact.
Right.
All right. That was in year one. That lasted all of 9 games, right? Because in the 9th game of my rookie year, we're playing in San Diego, and Contact makes a tackle where the running back's knee strikes me in the forehead. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was no more than a 3. No more than a play that one would say you shake it off, whatever that meant, and you get ready for the next play, which I did. Played the rest of that game.
Wow.
I think it was in the 2nd quarter. I had no incidences of anything that was coming. Had no pain. It was not like some concussion. I didn't wobble, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the next week, I'm standing in the huddle in Kansas City, getting ready to call the defense, and I collapsed on the field. And I'm out for 2 hours.
Wow.
So when I come to in the operating in the emergency room at the hospital, I asked the doctor, how long have I been out? He said, 2 hours. Well, I knew something seriously neurological had happened. I shouldn't have been on the field. I shouldn't have driven to the game. And there was no indication that anything was wrong. So I started to subsequently have some vertical double vision, which was indicating that there was something that was wrong inside. Well, I started having vertical double vision. The eye doctor with the team, as I had gone to him for his observation, said to me, well, if I have double vision during the game to tackle the clearer image, imagine. So I put that aside. I miss one more game, and I'm back on the field. I try to make a tackle. The quarterback becomes 2. I reach, and I get air. I go to the sideline, tap the physician on the elbow, tell them I'm fine. What's wrong with me? They send me to Mayo Clinic the next week, and I am told I've had a previously undiagnosed febrile hematoma, which I knew it could kill you. I asked the doctor, can I have an unequivocal clean bill of health? He said, no, all God's grace. So
wow.
God and I had to have some discussion about whether I would ever play again. And the thought for me was this very simply, can you show me how to play the game 90% safe, and I'll play a game? For God gave me grace as to how to play that game 90% safe. And that meant no possibility of a concussion. That meant no subconcussive anything in practice, because I'm taking my head out of any contact completely. And that's where Honey Bear came from.
Mm. Wow.
He's one of the greats to ever play the game, Pro Football Hall of Famer, NFL Man of the Year. Willie Lanier here with us on ESPN Radio with the Honey Bear Project, helping HBCUs get everything that they need to be on par. And having said all that story, I mean, I got chills right now, Willie. How close were we to not having one of the greats to ever play the game not play after that incident?
Well, as I'm sharing with you, God gave me understanding how to play the game 90% safe, which meant that I refused to talk to anybody unless you were unconscious for 2 hours. But I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. Seriously, if you weren't unconscious for 2 hours, you're another player, you can be the coach, you can be the owner, the gentleman, I don't care who you are. If you were not unconscious 2 hours, I'm not trying to explain anything to you. God and I had an understanding that the first thing that I had to do was remove emotion from the game completely. It had nothing to do with the game.
Wow.
Then it had to be to accept physics as being irrefutable. Then it had to be no impact, none with the head and neck, none. Even though the helmet had a big pad in the middle that the trainer had done for my benefit trying to do something, I don't know whether it worked or not because I took my head out of play. I had a cognitive test done with a neuropsychiatrist about 3 years ago. I had my own MRIs done. I was 72, and he was indicating that my brain health, based on the test that I had taken, was that of a 60-year-old.
Wow.
And I understand it clearly because, seriously, I took everything out of the game and still was able to be acknowledged as being where I was in the game. And then I found that fascinating because what happened in year one, I missed 4 games because of a significant injury. In the next 10 years, I missed 1/4. And I have no injuries physically from any hip, knees, nothing replaced. I'm 75, I'll be 76, August 21st. I have no pain from anything.
Another reason why he's not just a Hall of Fame football player. He's a Hall of Fame person. I'm going to call him Mr. Willie Lanier because he has definitely earned that, not only what he did off the football field in terms of during his playing career, but even now past that, part of the Honey Bear Project. Their mission is to make sure that students going to HBCUs will have all the information, all the resources they need to be a Willie Lanier in their future. He joined us here on Freddie Fitzsimmons. Mr. Lanier, thank you so much for the time. Good luck with the Honey Bear Project, and you take care and be well.
Thank you.